The Angsty Christian Podcast is a mature show that dives deep into the problematic aspects of the modern church. Some content might not be suitable for all listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
About me is that I got made fun of by kids at church this morning.
Oh, no.
Wait, what?
Who would dare make fun of you?
Children at church.
Honestly, if you ever need a humility check, just go work with kids.
Dude, they're so mean.
Just go find a kid and talk to them.
I work with kids. They are merciless.
Honestly,
totally
they were
merciless.
They were extra monstrous today. I looked at them and said, I just want to kick you. I didn't. Obviously, I didn't do it. I'm not that bad, but I did want to kick them.
I want to kick a child.
They were being freaking assholes today.
They were. I don't know what it was. Something in the air.
There's that Card Against Humanity card, the white card, that says, like, being an asshole to children. That's me.
You think they put chemicals in the water that turn the children into assholes?
Yeah. But the same chemical makes the frogs turn gay.
It's true.
Yeah.
I know. If I wasn't about to cry, I would have been so rude to him.
Yeah. Next time, just like text Jake or I, and one of us will come over and we'll be the dick to the child.
Sometimes I can come up with the worst insult for a child.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Pay taxes?
Please, so we don't have
to. I wish sometimes that I also work with kids, and I wish sometimes that I were Gandalf. I could do that thing with that Gandalf does where his voice gets really loud and deep, and the place gets all dark. And it's like, that would scare the bejesus out of the children.
It would scare the Satan out of the children.
It would scare the Satan out of the children, for
or,
sure.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. I don't give a shit.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, hi, what is up? I am Daniel, fuck you. I am your deconstruction daddy. I don't know why I said fuck you. I think I saw something aches of wanting to kick a child. No, not fuck you. You're an amazing
person. That's his last name, by the way. It's Daniel, fuck you.
Yeah, Daniel, fuck you, Ramos.
Fuck you, Ramos.
Yeah, no, I am your deconstruction daddy. Fun fact about me. Fuck me. I had one, and I forgot it.
Loser.
Oh, loser. Wait, no, I got one. Fun fact about me today. The other day, I texted Jake, and we were planning to get sushi. And I was like, are we still doing this? And he's like, oh, shit, did I say today? And I said, yes, you said today. Or at least you inferred it. He's like, but it's Eternals Day, because Eternals came out. I was like, bro, let's go see it. He's like, but I'm going to go see it with my dad. I was like, okay, no worries, have fun with your dad. And his dad bought us tickets, and he took us out. And so we got sushi and saw Eternals, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to my dad. This week's episode is actually sponsored by my dad.
Yes, thank you, Dad. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, everyone. I'm Jake. Deconstruction can't come up with a gender-neutral rhyme with
Monarch.
Batty and Daddy.
Monarch.
That doesn't rhyme with Batty or Daddy.
It'd be Mommy.
Parents.
I don't want Mommy. That doesn't rhyme either.
Parents.
Parent. Parental. Hey, everyone, I'm your, you know what? I'm just your pal. I'm just your old pal, Jake. That's what we're gonna, my new title.
Your old pal, Jake. It's like Taylor Lautner when he gained all the weight. He's the kid who just, like, freeloads off of you and just, like, eats hot Cheetos while sitting playing Xbox all day.
Eat hot chip.
Yeah, eat hot chip.
And lie.
And lie.
All right. I guess it's fun fact time. Fun fact about me is that I'm pissed. I'm actually pissed because last week y'all got to do a podcast without me, which, you know, that part is fine. It was the Halloween special, and you said pumpkin, I want to say, 5 times without changing it into Blumpkin, and I'm so pissed about that, because I would have done that on, like, the first time pumpkin was mentioned.
Jake, to be fair, I do not think of Blumpkin ever.
I think of it every single time I think of a pumpkin.
So, question, does all of us in this room right now know what Blumpkin is?
I do not.
No.
Okay, so either
should I look up?
No. One of you two has to look it up on Urban Dictionary and read it out loud,
please. I'll look it up. I'd like to read it out loud.
Okay, Gabe can read it out loud. Okay, Bonnie, I'm so sorry. You might be a little traumatized. Or maybe not. I don't know. I was.
I'll be fine. I've spent a lot of time on fan fiction sites, so.
Okay, true. Blumpkin, you did, Urban you Dictionary.
You did Adolf Schreckler. That's true. Did.
Urban Dictionary.
Oh, Gabe is with us, by the way. Just fun fact. We'll get to that soon.
He'll introduce himself eventually. After he reads the definition of a Blumpkin.
Oh.
Gabe's fun fact today is that he didn't know what a Blumpkin was. Oh. And now does.
Oh. Okay. Okay. I've just Googled Blumpkin on Urban Dictionary, and this is the definition. Prepare yourselves. Blumpkin. Getting a blowjob while sitting on the toilet taking a shit. It is...
Keep going, Gabe.
Continuing on. It has never been pulled off. And anyone who would do this
is
probably someone you wouldn't want doing it to you. Yeah, that's... I wouldn't even dream of making anyone do that to me. No.
Do you know the first time I ever heard Blumpkin?
What?
Kenneth.
Oh,
yeah, it was Kenneth. Yep.
Freaking Kenneth, man.
Kenneth, I remember. It was around Halloween, right?
And it was around the ween.
Yeah, it's around the ween, and we're at a pumpkin patch, right?
The Blumpkin ween.
Yeah.
The great pumpkin patch.
So we're there, and we're with, like, a young adults group that I used to lead, okay? Like, a young adult small group. Remember?
Yeah, that was...
I think you weren't able to be there that day because it was when we went to the pumpkin patch. Were you there?
You know, I think I was there because I remember there were animals. It was in a mall parking lot, wasn't it?
Yes. And we go
so
there.
So I was there, yes.
Yes, and I remember Kenneth, we decided to invite because we're like, you know, he kind of needs some people to hang out with. We're going to invite him to come along.
Our small group attracted some interesting characters.
It did. And so he comes along that day because he's like, cool, pumpkin patch. Hotties are going to be there. And this girl just started coming to the church, just joined the small group because she's looking for a place to have friends. And the entire time, I didn't catch it like the first like 10 times, but he kept saying, hey, you want to give me a Blumpkin?
Oh my God.
What?
Over and over again. And I was like, Kenneth, what the fuck, dude? Like when I finally heard it, I was like, bro, what the fuck is a Blumpkin?
Did she know?
No, she didn't know. She's like, what is a Blumpkin? He's like, oh, you'll see. And then like I looked it up and I'm like, dude, this is inappropriate. What the fuck are you doing? I mean, if it's consenting... whatever, I don't give a shit. But like, bro, not the time nor the place. Although funnily it was a place that makes you think of Blumpkins, I guess, because of pumpkins.
Blumpkin patch.
And so Kenneth did post a picture of him with a bunch of pumpkins and said, what's a fall season without a Blumpkin patch? It's pretty traumatizing. Yeah. I wasn't even planning on telling the Kenneth story yet. Yeah. That one just came up.
Oh. It just happened. Hey, everyone, you got a premature Kenneth story.
Yeah, we pre-ejaculated that Kenneth story. Oh,
this is an interesting mood for this podcast.
All right, we need to have our guest, our first returning guest.
Yeah. The first guest and the first returning guest as well.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So, hi, I'm Gabe, for those of you who don't know me.
And if you don't, listen to the second episode, 420 Praise It.
Episode 2. I'm the despair daddy, because, I mean...
despair daddy.
Despair.
That's a good one. Did you say
I
that
feel
once?
Like it just,
you said depression dad.
Depression dad was, like, the thing for a while, until we got daddy, baddy, and then I'm like... I don't have a rhyme. Fuck.
We'll think of one. We'll think of one.
I mean,
Laddie.
Laddie. we'll workshop it.
Yeah, I feel like my mind just... I chose despair because I feel like my mind just like spirals into really, really dark rabbit holes. And I just feel like there's no hope for the future. Like, we're all doomed. I mean, I don't think that's... I don't think that's true. People tell me I'm a really optimistic person. Like, I always see the bright side of things, and
yeah,
they're right. But it's also, like, my mind's kind of like, hope for the best, but also, like, prepare for the worst. But yeah, anyway, my fun fact is that I think I might be traumatized from having read that definition of a Blumpkin. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
I might be a little bit traumatized as well. I thought I would be okay.
If for those of you at home who obviously aren't seeing this because this isn't videotaped or anything, so whatevs. when Gabe read that, his face even went into awe. He had to stop.
I was in shock.
He was in shock. And Bonnie immediately, as soon as it says blowjob while pooping, like her like hands went immediately over her mouth and she was in shock. Like she stood there. Now she is cuddling a very fuzzy and soft blanket that I have in order to give her comfort.
I wouldn't
even blame Jake.
I wouldn't even dream of somebody doing that to me. I'd say no. Even if they wanted to, I would say no. We are not doing that.
Well, I have a weighted blanket if either of you would like that for some extra to help you with the trauma stuff.
But, I think I'm fine. I'm still a little shaken. I think I have a pretty strong. I'm pretty resilient, but I'm sorry you had.
I'm sorry to reintroduce it, but also at the same time, no.
To be real, every fucking week I think I'd get at least one reference to Blumpkin from Jake during the month of October.
Bonnie, I am so sorry.
And I think even Naropoo. Yeah, Twitch.tv/Naropoo.
Yeah, you'll be fine. No, it was exclusive. Every time I went to his chat during October, I was like, "Yo, you going to a Blumpkin patch today?"
Yeah. Should we? All right, well, after all of that fucking craziness, I think it's important to acknowledge this is our only episode until Thanksgiving. And so I think it's important to at least talk about Thanksgiving briefly before we get into our full topic. And I think Thanksgiving, for me, brings up a lot of complicated emotions because I grew up, obviously, we've talked about before, Christian, Catholic, whatever. But also as someone who is half indigenous and half white. But even then, like, my brown side was always tokenized around Thanksgiving. And now we're getting all this more knowledge of Thanksgiving and all the shit that it brings and decolonization. And so I think it's at least important to note and at least bring up, like, Thanksgiving, I think, holds a lot of emotions for a lot of people. And so I know Gabe doesn't like Christmas before Thanksgiving. But part of me listening to Christmas music, which I did listen to Christmas music November 1st, me listening to Christmas music is a rebellion against Thanksgiving as a holiday. Because I hate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I like the food. I like seeing friends. I like seeing family. But personally for me, it's more of this is literally a holiday celebrating the erasure of my culture and of my people. Why would I celebrate that? Why wouldn't I instead celebrate joy and happiness and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I didn't even learn about that side of Thanksgiving until very recently.
Because it's not really talked about, right?
Yeah, it's not. Like, Thanksgiving for me is like, after Halloween, that's when my seasonal depression, I guess, starts to kick in because, like, the holidays in general for me are like, I tend to feel my feeling of loneliness around the holidays increases because it feels like, it just feels very isolating. It feels like everyone's, with their families or with their loved ones. And, sometimes even when I'm with my family, I feel like sometimes my family is like, when I'm around them, I'm supposed to like, I have to like project an image of myself. Of the person they want me to be. And, I don't always feel like I can be completely myself with my family.
Yeah.
So for me, like, Thanksgiving and the holidays tend to be a really isolating time.
That makes sense. I think. So you did tweet the other day that you are declaring a war on Christmas.
I feel like I'm declaring war on the propaganda of Christmas because...
Propaganda, okay.
Because I feel like going right from Halloween... to Christmas, the day after, it just gives me whiplash. Like, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, And, like, by the time Christmas finally comes, I'll be so annoyed with all the Christmas music. I mean, I prefer Christmas music that has a more of a feeling of solemnity to it.
Yeah.
I like more, like...
I sent you some.
Yeah, like... Yeah, you did. You sent me a couple playlists, and I really appreciated those. I like that they were a little more downbeat, a little more somber.
Like Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers.
There's also one by Phineas. I can't remember the name of it, but that one was really super relatable.
Yeah, and good. I like Phineas.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I honestly feel like we should ban Christmas before Thanksgiving. Like, after Thanksgiving, yes, but, I mean.
I'm still going to respectfully disagree, Gabe.
Okay.
I like my Christmas music. I have had, my fun fact was that I've had a chestnut praline pretty much every day since they released at Starbucks. And it's the best Starbucks drink. But
yeah. Anyway, my act of rebellion is, like, because I'm still kind of in spooky season mode. Mm. So I still continue to watch, like, horror movies or horror movies that are set around winter or Christmas. Like, you know, like Black Christmas, Gremlins... The Shining, even though that's not really Christmas, but it is in the snow.
Yeah, it's kind of Christmassy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're kind of like the Oogie Boogie right now. You're not quite Jack Skellington or the mayor, whatever the mayor's name is.
Mayor.
Oh, just mayor?
Just mayor, yeah.
Mayor of Halloween. You're like him right now. You're like getting ready, but you're still in rebellion. And you're like, I don't know about this, but you're not quite Jack Skellington.
I feel like I kind of am Jack Skellington because, like in the first, like, you know, he's fed up with, you know, he's like fed up with the repetition and feeling like he's not really, you know, he's just fed up with the repetition and not, and feeling, what am I trying to say?
So he's, let me get, see if I'm understanding you right. So Jack Skellington for Halloween is sick of the repetition, and so he searches for something new. But for you, you're sick of the repetition of Christmas music, and so you search for something new.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much just like that. Yeah. He's just tired of the same old tricks every year and wants to try and reinvent himself.
Yes.
He has a feeling... I guess I relate to him because he has a feeling like he was made for something bigger, something better. He wants to aspire to do greater things, you know?
Yeah.
And as a side note, I feel like the Nightmare Before Christmas is like a metaphor for colonization because
100%. It's
because of the way, like, you know, Jack, he finds Christmas and loves it, and basically he co-opts it and tries to do it with Halloween to do it himself, but in the process he appropriates it for Halloween, but in the process he causes a lot of harm and damage, which is what almost dies, which is what colonization is.
Yeah. Fascinating. That was actually really good. A description of colonization.
Right.
Yeah. And I do think it's important, before we do move on, I haven't done one of these before, but Joey did it. And if you haven't listened to our episode with Joey Reyes, please go back and listen to it. I forgot what the title was. Oh, Jesus was the queerest of the queers. Yeah. And so I think it's important to acknowledge the land that at least we are on today. And we are filming from Orange County, and this is the land of the Tongva. And so it's important to recognize that we are on their land, especially around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, land acknowledgements are acknowledging the land on which you are in. And so the Tongva are from like LA, Orange County, San Bernardino area. So it's important to recognize those people, remember them. They are not forgotten. And do that. I would encourage you all, actually, I'm going to do this with my family and force them, as all the white people that they are, that we are going to remember the land that we are on and not forget our native ancestors, our native or indigenous ancestors, our indigenous, the indigenous people that came before us and paved the way and were genocided. That is the reality of Thanksgiving. It is a holiday of genocide. That's kind of fucked up. So, yeah, I remember earlier this week, it came to my mind. I don't know why. But you know that song, like, this land is my land, this land is your land. When I was in elementary school and I was learning that I was indigenous and learning the history, I was like, this land is my land, this land is my land,
this land is my land, this land is my land. To be fair, all the white people sang it too, but it was just, that was just fucked
up. I remember looking at all the white people and saying that, like, that's not the lyrics. I'm like, yeah, but this is my land because I'm native and you're not, so fuck off. I didn't say fuck off because I was a kid.
Yeah.
But now I know the land belongs to no one, so fuck you, colonization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So decolonize yourself if you would like some reading, a couple of books. I've read one of them. The other one I have on my shelf and I have yet to read, I will admit. But Native by Caitlin Curtis is really good. That is a really great book about coming back and learning indigenous culture and whatnot, especially from someone who grew up in evangelical Christianity. And then there's also Braided Sweetgrass. That's the one that I have not read. It just came out recently. Forgot who it's by off the top of my head. But that one is about, like, wisdom and rituals and also, like, spirituality stuff found in various Native cultures. So if you would like to do some of that reading over this colonization season, please listen to that. It's really good. And, like, follow some indigenous folks because we're alive. We're doing shit. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Or happy Foxgiving, right?
Foxgiving, yeah. Mm.
That's what Gabe was saying earlier.
I like that.
It's the great giving of fucks.
It's true. It's true. It is the one day a year that I give a fuck.
Yeah, honestly?
That's the only day, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, Christmas actually is the day I give a fuck.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah. I don't want to give Thanksgiving too much credit. More credit than it's worth, at least. But I think an aspect of Thanksgiving that is still positive is the, you know, the element of gratitude that does come along with it. And, you know, that's kind of what it we were trying to transform with it, but, you know, trying to, like, brush past all the nasty history, and now it's, like, brushing past all the nasty history is actually not great. And so it's hard to, and when you're looking at, like, all of, like, the really, really, like, fucked up things that, like, colonization did to America, it's, like, you know, it's hard to be thankful at a time, like, when you're actually doing a research, and it's hard to be thankful at a time like this. And, you know, even before, like, doing all that research, it's just hard to be thankful right before the holidays when you're all stressed out, like, finishing up, like, last-minute work assignments, or if you're in retail, like I am, dealing with all the holiday shoppers. Oh, boy.
But also, like, the day after Thanksgiving is a day of capitalization and buying, which, I'll admit, I love Black Friday.
I do, too. Cyber Monday's better because I can do it from the comfort of my own goddamn home.
But I like on Black Friday, I like to go out with my friends and, like, go hang out, see if we can find anything cool gifts for ourselves or each other, and, like, have that kind of fun. But it is nonetheless a day of grief.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I also think that we practice gratitude to a certain extent on Thanksgiving, but it's a weird kind of gratitude. Like, we have a feast when we have plenty of food every day.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I don't know. I feel like there are better ways, like, we could be acknowledging, like, we have everything we need. And that's good in itself something to be grateful for. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That would be a weird trend, but, like, what if on Thanksgiving, instead of doing a day of feast, you actually did a day of fast, and the food that you would usually buy and eat on any other day, you actually give back.
Right, there are things, like, you can serve, like, homeless people. Like, there are events you can go on Thanksgiving to serve to practice gratitude, which I think is a much more, like, it's a more beautiful way of practicing thankfulness for what you have than eating a fuck ton of turkey and then being grumpy every other day of the week because you still have to eat the rest of the turkey.
Totally. I mean, that was my biggest thing. So, like, I mean, two things. Like, the church that Jake and I used to go to, that was the one thing I really liked that they did, was that they regularly fed people experiencing homelessness in that area of Orange County every other week. And the church that my uncle goes to right next to it would do the weeks that they didn't do, and they would feed them. And so at least once a week, people who are on the streets or living out in the cars or whatever would at least have a warm meal.
That's awesome.
But on Thanksgiving, like, they came together and they always fed on Thanksgiving and also on Christmas Eve and, like, Christmas Day. Like, they would always open it up and do that. That's the one thing I liked. But the second, I remember as a kid, I think it was in middle school or something like that, and I was like, isn't this supposed to be a day of thanks? And I literally told my family, like, you guys are all assholes to each other every fucking day. You're assholes to me. Like, and I'm an asshole to you. None of us are actually giving thanks to each other. And this is just some superficial thing. Like, oh, go around and say one thing you're thankful for. I'm like, I'm not thankful for any of this. Like, I'm genuinely not. This is stupid. Like, and granted, I have a much better relationship with my family members nowadays. But back then, I was like, no, like, this is some superficial thing where you get to check it off your list for the year, but, oh, boy, I told my family I was thankful for them today. Mm-hmm. But you guys don't show that to everyone else every other day of the year. Like, this is stupid.
And I think that's part of the reason why I always felt awkward or uncomfortable around my family, because, like, going... It always felt like I always felt like I had to be there, you know? I was never there because I wanted to be there. It was always because it felt like, you know, like you said, a checklist.
Yeah.
You know? It's a, like... Yeah, There's a formality to it.
Yeah. Whereas nowadays, I can choose where I go for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. if I go anywhere at all. And Christmas. And it's nice. Well, shall we head into our actual topic instead of just Thanksgiving? If you listen to 20 minutes of us talk about random shit, well, thank you, I guess. I don't know. Go sign up for a
good.
Patreon.
It was good random shit.
Yes, go sign up for a Patreon. So, Gabe, earlier, you mentioned, I think this is a good topic for us, because it is the holidays, right? We're headed into the holiday season, so this episode released, I think, the week before Thanksgiving. Yes. And I think the holiday season can be very different for a lot of people. And I think it's actually interesting. There's two questions. First, Gabe... like you mentioned how you're like the holiday season and especially Thanksgiving and Christmas can bring up a lot of loneliness for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like talking about how it can be lonely and growing up in the church emphasizes and pushes like monogamous relationships and all that other stuff and like the need to be in that and all that. But then two, I feel like for a lot of people after deconstruction, when they're no longer part of those circles, I feel like there's an extra added level of grief to the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like the church has those built-in family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like, I mean, I'm still involved in my home church, but I feel like people who leave the church, it's like, you know, when they leave, they, you know, they lose those built-in family dynamic. So
I mean, I remember after leaving my mega church, mm-hmm. that I used to go to, like, after I left that, like, the holiday season was different because I used to have, there was mm-hmm. 1 year where I literally had the week of Thanksgiving, I had a different Friendsgiving every single day.
Mm.
Christmas, the same thing. I had different people that I was hanging out with, different small groups, one that I led or one I joined, and you know, the overall church or young adults group. Like, I had literally 5 or 6 or something like that Friendsgivings and Friendsmisses all in a row. And, like, after that, I was like, shit, what do I do? It was weird. I mean, we threw our own with our own group of friends, which we did the year before that as well, but it was still, like, there was a level of, like, grief.
Mm-hmm.
Or a level of, like, loneliness. I was like, I don't feel comfortable hanging out with those people anymore. Especially now. I'm like, I don't want to go to any of their friends gatherings for the holidays. Like, that sounds horrible. It sounds like I'm just going to be traumatized all the time.
And it's, you know? Like, I feel like they say friends they use the word friends very loosely because it's like, I mean, those kinds of environments are not really, I don't feel like they're really conducive to, like, forming close friendships with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they do happen. I mean, I met you guys through church, but it's not always the safest environment to foster close relationships, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what it is, but church is just filled with a bunch of fucking narcs. You know what I mean?
It's true.
A bunch of narcs, honestly.
Yeah, because it's like, you bring up, like, something that you're, like, actually, like, concerned about or troubled with. It's like, hey, I, like, I'm feeling just a little a little depressed this week. It's just been going really hard. And you know what they do? Oh, they tell the rest of the congregation to pray for you. And you know what that turns into? That just turns into more talk and more gossip. And it doesn't even have to be depression. It could be literally anything on the spectrum. And all of a sudden, your thing that you told someone in hey, I guess you didn't necessarily tell them to keep it on the down low, but all of a sudden, now everyone knows about what you're going through at that moment, and then you have all these supportive, I say in quotation marks, because sometimes it feels like sometimes they're genuine prayers, and other times it feels like they're mostly just doing it to either go with the flow or make themselves look better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I literally recently, so there's two things about that triggered my fucking brain, you asshole. One, so I went on a couple dates with this girl recently, right? We had fun. It was great. We made out. And I found out, and I went to go get coffee with someone else and do photos for that person at some coffee shops afterwards. And she knew that we had made out and all this other stuff. I'm like, why the fuck does everyone at this church that I no longer fucking go to know that, what? How the what?
That's uncomfy.
Yeah, I was like, I don't feel safe about this. That's weird. Granted, I did tell my friends because I was like, hey, yeah, man, that was nice. But I didn't go and gossip about it. And I also told people that I knew weren't going to fucking tell every other fucking person at a church. So there's that. And then second, I remember the small group that I used to be a part of, that Gabe was a part of and all that stuff. I remember there was one week where I had to call 5150 on 3 to 5 individuals or 3 to 5 different times, right? Mm-hmm. It was a rough week emotionally, but I was normally fine because I was doing that. I was also an on-site mentor at a home for former foster youth, also working on top of that, and still volunteering at this church. And I remember after I had to do all of that, I told one person, because I was like, I need to talk to someone about this, because at the time I wasn't going to therapy. So I need to talk to someone about this just to get off my chest. And all of a sudden, everyone else fucking knows all the shit that I had to go through. I'm like, okay, first off, that is confidential shit. That is not okay. I didn't tell, obviously, any names or anything. I remember, the young adults pastor came up and had a conversation with me. Other leaders came up and had a conversation with me. I was like, but none of it was in a way to support, but it was in a way that was derogatory. What are you doing that's wrong?
I remember someone... we're concerned about you.
Yeah, and, someone literally, one of them literally made a comment that, my small group was unhealthy.
What?
Because of that. I was like, excuse me, it's not unhealthy. We actually are create a safe environment for people to be who they fucking are and receive safe relationship. Do you think that you're going to want to be here? No, you don't feel safe here because you don't want safe relationship because you're a fucking narcissist. But these people, they need that. So yeah, they're going to find their way into the small group because I help them feel safe and included and cool and they have friends. Oh, it pissed me off so much because it was I was doing something wrong or they are bad. And I was like, no, these are all great people. They're going through some deep depression. They're going through some really deep stuff that I really hope that they can get some help for. And I'm here to give them that support or lead them to those resources. But what the fuck?
It's like maybe we're just better at being honest with ourselves and putting our shit out there and just helping each other than you guys are.
Oh, I'm sorry that I did church better than you, bitch.
Hospital for the sick.
You know, holy shit.
Oh, man. What the fuck did Jesus do, god damn it?
You know, I've never been a victim of church gossip, and if I have, I haven't found out about it yet.
Oh, I've been so many times.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've been a couple times.
But there have been moments where I've been, honest with people in certain situations. And sometimes some of them are like, can I just pray over you? And even then, it's like...
Can I just pray over you?
It's like, I don't know. Or sometimes people who I barely know, they've asked me to pray for them. It's happened a couple times. And it's like kind of... It feels weird because, one, I don't really have a relationship with this person, you know. I don't know you. I'm not your therapist. And I'm not even your friend. We just met 5 seconds ago. So, yeah. I mean, I'm really sorry you're going through this, but don't dump all your stuff onto my shoulders.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Some people trauma dump, and being someone who is a leader at churches many times, that does happen. And that's also part of it's part of my role is to sit here and listen. But also, like, so many pastors or leaders take that too much. It's like, no, like, you should get them resourced to therapy if they really need that. And also if they ask. Like, in certain cases, I would say, you know, you don't need to resource them unless they ask for it. But also, there are certain cases where it's like, nope, you kind of need to, because this is actually unhealthy. Have a conversation like, hey, like, don't trauma dump here, because this is, that's actually an unhealthy thing to do, you know? Yeah, so much with all of that.
Well, I think there's a better culture around that that's, like, developing, where you're, like, ask permission before you, like, share, like, are you in a place?
Yes.
And I do appreciate that, and, like, yeah, I do think that's becoming more common than it at least has been in the past.
Yeah, because that's respecting and understanding that the other person's going to have boundaries, and also that we all have limited energy, that we can't always just extend to every single other person.
Yeah, I don't feel, I feel like a lot of church culture doesn't really have a good understanding with personal boundaries. Because it's like, because it's a place where, it's like, you know, we're supposed to, like, bear each other's burdens. Like, we're all family here. And it's kind of like, you know...
The church is Olive Garden. Sorry.
We're
family here.
But instead of unlimited breadsticks, you get unlimited trauma.
I mean, you do get the communion bread every week.
But it's not unlimited.
If you come back next week.
I want my soup, salad, breadsticks.
I don't know. Have you ever tried to take more than one piece? Like, they don't say you can only take one.
Exactly. What if you go, I'm extra hungry for the body of Christ.
I want more body. Oh.
I want more body.
Oh, you want...
You are the body of Christ.
Oh.
Give me that body of Christ.
Uh-oh, Gabe's going cannibalistic, guys. Jake is too.
I'll eat the body with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Oh god, it'd be creepier if you had your actual mask on from
my Hannibal Lecter mask.
Yeah.
I have a mask that looks like Hannibal Lecter's mask.
It's pretty badass.
It's pretty,
but also kind of frightening.
Oh yeah.
First time I saw it, I was actually scared for my life.
Yeah.
But not because it was Gabe, just because I was like, oh shit, Hannibal Lecter. But then I was like, oh, it's Gabe.
Of course.
And it's Gabe. I was like, I'm just mildly scared.
Yeah.
It turned from mostly scared to partially scared.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little scared.
Yeah. Like 25%.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, back to the churches sharing. Like, they feel like we should bear each other's burdens.
Yeah. And it's way too much to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, I'm very big on, like, personal space, you know? And when somebody gets really close to me, like, really, like inches away from my chest, like, I feel kind of violated.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if somebody I barely know, like, puts their hand on me when they pray for me, I feel like, you put your hand on my shoulder, you're going to lose it.
Put your hand on my shoulder.
Like, I mean, not that I'd harm anybody, but still,
I might. If someone, you know, gets me on the wrong day, I might, on accident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I might be the, somebody might be on, might be the unwitting, the unsuspecting victim of my fight or flight response.
Gabe's wrath.
The wrath of Gabe.
The wrath of Gabe.
The wrath of Gabe's ass. but anyways, to go off of that topic of, like, gossip and all that stuff, and back to, this is a good segue, back to the original topic, Dirty Rotten Church Kids, I did it better than you, just kidding.
Holy shit, that's a claim, that's a claim and a half.
That's a bold statement.
Next week we're going to get an email from,
I might cut this out.
We're going to get an email from Josh like, sorry guys.
He's like, I hate you guys, I'm like, okay, it's okay.
Sorry, we're canceling you guys. You can be canceled on Twitter.
Oh, it's true, we can be canceled on Twitter. Anyways, to go back to our previous conversation, and going off of and to segue from this one, you know, like, it's unsafe to sometimes be fully authentic and honest inside the church because there's gossip, right? So, like, around the holidays, when someone is experiencing seasonal depression or even loneliness, because, like, the church, I think it's really important to point out, like, the church constantly, at least evangelical church, not even just evangelical culture, Christian culture, really emphasizes the need to be in a relationship, right? And they emphasize, like, monogamous relationships, heterosexual relationships. One of our pastors at our church this morning literally said, you know, the church has historically been a place for straight people. And the context of that was because, you know, he's saying, like, we need to make this a place for literally everyone. So, like, shut the fuck up. It's not making it just for straight people. But during the holidays, like, how is someone supposed to get the care that they're asking for outside of therapy, like through friendship or through a small group or whatever that they have? How are they supposed to get the care and the friendship that they need to like, not feel lonely during the holidays? Or to not, like, have, like, to be able to get that extra support during seasonal depression? If the fear is they're always going to be gossiped about, like, that they tell one person, everyone else in the fucking church is going to know, and then they're going to have people coming up to pray for them, and prayer is just a way for them to, like, take it off of their shoulders and say, like, I don't need to talk to this person. I'm going to pray for them, and Jesus will give them everything they want. It's bullshit.
Spiritual bypassing.
It is. It's spiritual bypassing. Like, when Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, the intention was that we were going to be the ones to enact the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, as above, so below.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a tweet on Twitter today. I mean, I kind of searched it out because I was kind of in a mood, so I kind of searched singleness in church. There's got to be some interesting takes on Twitter out in the Twitter sphere. And I saw one tweet that said, like, you know, like, somebody, they saw a married couple that was cheered on by everyone in the room at church, and then somebody who was single got a new job, which was their dream job, and only one person told them congratulations. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, the getting the job gets, like, one congratulations, but the married couple gets a cheer. I mean, that just tells you how, that just tells you that marriage in the church is more prioritized than, you know, singleness. Like, I honestly can't remember the last time I heard a sermon that affirmed singleness as being totally okay to live with, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, like, I think I touched on this the last time I was here on this podcast, but, like, going to church, I always felt like I had to fit a certain mold.
Yeah.
Like, I had to be a perfect square that fit perfectly in a square-shaped...
Yeah, you had to be a square peg.
Yeah, I had to... A square peg, yeah. And, you know, and it felt like, you know, and I felt like, you know, marriage to me was something to aspire to. And singleness was always, you know, painted as a waiting period. Like a temporary, like, basically it was like...
You're just in the wilderness right now, Gabe.
You're just in a season of singleness. Like, you notice how a season of singleness, like a temporary waiting period. You notice how nobody ever calls marriage a season or, like, a relationship a season? They say not yet married. Like, imagine if we started calling, referring to marriage as not yet divorced or not or yet
no
widowed.
Longer, or no longer.
Not yet widowed.
Not yet widowed or not yet divorced.
No.
Sorry.
No. But not no longer single.
No longer single, I guess.
But even then, the narrative, I mean, how do you talk about that? I mean, like, I have nothing against marriage. Like, there is a day in which I hope to one day be married and have children, all that other shit, right? Yeah. But also, like, a much better perspective is to also just being okay being single.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember early on in my young adult life, after college, I was sent a, the men's group that I was a part of, they listened to the sermon by, I think it was, like, John Mark Comer, maybe, or something like that, some weird evangelical person. And it was this whole thing about singleness, and it was like, you just need to, you know, don't date for an entire year. And instead, during this year, you need to focus on becoming the one that the one you're looking for is looking for. And I was like, there's actually... And part of that is, like, okay, bullshit. But also part of that is actually true, because the focus is on, like, becoming your best self. And I think there's... And, like, stop being thirsty. And I think there's some wisdom in that.
Yeah.
But also, like, the thing is, it's like, they're still focusing on the one, even though in the same sermon... He said, like, oh, the one is a myth and there's many ones or whatever. But also, you're still saying that there's one out there and the emphasis isn't just to be your best self for the sake of yourself. It's be your best self so that you can attract, or be the person that this person's going to want you to be.
But, like, how do you know that's what that person wants? Yep. See, I feel like that advice is really vague and really unhelpful.
Well, I think talking about the one, I feel like they're more just trying to stop people from dating more. Like, I don't even know if they believe in soulmates necessarily. Yeah. They just think, like, the more people you date, the less, like, the less pure you are, the less you've given parts of your hearts away.
Well, the whole somebody. Fucking flower analogy.
Right. Ugh. You know, and they want you to find the one person to marry. But dating is never really even a part of that conversation. It's singleness and then you're married.
Yeah, well, historically, I mean, the church was a courting religion, right? It wasn't, it was all about courting.
Courtship.
Courtship and not.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, that's still a part of some Christian, the Quiverful movement.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I picked up on, too, was like...
Just trying to pursue her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dating wasn't really, like, a thing that was talked about. Dating was just, like, you know, like, if you find somebody who you think you can see yourself spending the rest of your life with, then that's the person you should marry and you should, you know, make your move. But,
I just really want to pursue your heart and, like, I just really want to make this relationship Christ-centered.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Can I pray for us?
Can I pray for us? Like, I was looking in the Book of Numbers, and I didn't see yours was in it.
One of our first episodes.
The pain!
That was one of our first episodes.
Oh, unreleased, right?
No. That one came out. That was when we were talking about Kenneth and all of his
numbers. Yeah.
Not numbers.
Another one of my favorites is, I understand why Solomon had so many wives. Because he never met you.
But I feel like the number one's better, but that one's good too.
Yeah, the number one is a solid. That's the thing,
you know? Like, you're not dating just to date or to get to know somebody. You're dating to get married.
Yes. And which is weird.
Yeah. And that really, like, you know, that, again, like I said, the church prioritizes marriage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put it this way. Like, if any of us were on a date with someone for the first time, right? And
I wouldn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah, but, like, if we're dating someone, we're on a first date, and that person is already thinking about marriage, that's a red flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And did I mention, like, I was, like 14 when I picked up on this idea. Like, I shouldn't even be thinking about marriage at that point in my life, you know? I should be thinking about other things, like what college I want to go to or what job I want to have.
Well, even then, you should just be worrying about being a 14-year-old.
Yeah, right? You know what? That too. That's actually better.
That's it. Yeah.
I should have been more focused on being a 14-year-old. But at that age, you know, everyone was telling me, you know, you got to think about your future. You know, what job you want to have. What.
Yeah.
Like where, you know what. What kind of job you want to have, like who you want to marry, you know? And I kept thinking about, you know, who am I going to like marry and spend the rest of my life with, you know, like that was an idea. And once that idea was planted in my head, it was really hard to get rid of it. Mm-hmm.
You know? I've been, reading, Falling Up by, Richard Rohr.
Upward.
Yeah. Falling Upward by Richard Rohr. And the irony is I'm also reading The Wisdom of Insecurity by Alan Watts at the same time. Didn't know that they're both about the same thing. And it's kind of destroying me in a good way. But I read this part by Richard Rohr that really stuck with me, where he was saying people who are living in the first half of life, meaning people who are still... Well, I'll explain that in a little bit. But people who are living in the first half of life are too worried about like how they appear to other people, being the right person for that other person. And it's like just all this language of focusing on other people and their perception of you versus how you perceive yourself, right? Or rather being comfortable with who you are and like shedding off your ego. And it just made me think a lot, like the language that I use, I don't remember the exact language, but it was very similar to this idea of like being the one that the one you're looking for is looking for. Where that's a very much first half of life idea. And Rohr is talking about how there's two halves of life. The first one, and a lot of mystics would agree with this as well throughout history, where the first half of life is like you're still worrying about the ego. You're still worrying about like being better, being the best, being good. You're still figuring out like who you are. And the second half of life is more living out who you are and filling up the vessel that is there and like experiencing life and the beauty that is in it. And, I mean, that's also an imperfect thing, but he uses the analogy of Odysseus in the Odyssey, where Odysseus has this entire journey, but at the end of the poem, he has to go out and do a second journey. And that's the second half of life. We don't know what that journey was, but the second half of life was after you return home, after all this crazy stuff, and you lived an entire lifetime, there's more out there, right? Mm-hmm. But like this whole, he's constantly in this book talking about how the church and religion historically has been a first half of life religion, where they don't, especially modern Christianity, he talks about is like, it does not want you to get to that second half of, it doesn't want to get you to that second half of life. It's not built for that. They constantly get you to worry about all this other superficial shit. And a lot of that is for the sake of marriage. A lot of that is for the sake of being good or being the best. Or a lot of it is for the sake of being holy or pure. And it's like, that is just such an immature thing. Which granted, I think we all need to, you know, work on ourselves and, you know, do our ego work, do our shadow work, whatever you want to call it. And like work through that, those parts of ourselves, the dark parts of ourselves, and like really grow as human beings. I think there's a lot of importance in that. But if all of our focus is on living into our ego or living into our shadow, that's not good, right? Like that's just being unhealthy. That's being emotionally unhealthy.
Yeah. I think it reminds me of when I was, you know, back in fucking high school, right? When I was,
fucking in high school. Nice.
Nice. No, I wish. Or no, I don't.
I wish too.
Let's move on. so I was dating a girl in high school. And the
gay.
I know, right? Jeez, wheeze. I was dating this girl. And back then I was, you know, more traditional Christian than I am now, obviously. But I was dating a girl who happened to be Mormon, and I remember in my mind that, like, I was just dating to, you know, to date and also build a relationship with someone, find out, oh, what aspects of dating do I like, which aspects of dating do I don't like, but still doing it in a way where it's like a, you know, a good, like, partnership, like, I, you know, it was still a high school relationship, so it wasn't all healthy, but it was healthy enough for a high school relationship to that standard. But I remember the first question that my mother asked me as soon as I told her that I was, you know, I was dating this girl, she asked me, oh, is she Christian? And I'm like, no, in fact, she's Mormon. And she's like, then how are you going to marry her? And I'm like, I'm in high school. I'm not marrying this chick. Are you kidding me? It was this entire mindset of like, I just want to date someone because I liked them in that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that should be something that's a little bit more normalized, you know? If you like someone in that moment, or if you see even if you just see a near future with that person, why not just try to pursue it and see what happens? Yeah. But if you do see someone where it's like more long term or yada yada yada, like, you know, obviously, like, pace yourself. Like, is this just like a heat of the moment thing, or is it going to be something that pursues farther down the road? But like, you don't need to have it figured out. The next person you date does not need to be the person that you marry. By a long shot. It just... Don't put yourself under that kind of pressure. Don't put yourself under that kind of stress.
Well, it's not yourself. Don't put them under that
pressure. Yeah, exactly. Don't put other people
it has nothing to do with us. It's more to do with them. Like, if you're already thinking of that, and, like, you're, like the whole, like, oh, you have to be equally yoked. And like, there was a comment, like, Lauren did make the comment of, like, you know, if you do not have the same beliefs as another person in a relationship, it can go really bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I'm not saying that it worked out.
Yes,
it didn't.
It can be difficult. And that is something that I look for, like, when I do go on dates with someone, if I'm looking for something long-term, I am like, are you going to be able to vibe with my weird shit, or are you going to be if you're a traditionalist, like, I'm sorry, if you're a fundamentalist, this ain't going to work out, unless you can be very open-minded, but I can let you know, I don't agree with it at all, and I'm not going to, I've been there, but, like, that's, like, and you can listen to Thy Kingdom Come, but Lauren talks a lot about, like, a reasons why she doesn't, like, she's not monogamous is because of a lot of that. Like, I can tell, like, a lot of it's based in a lot of the stuff that she's gone through in her own past growing up, at least in the culture she grew up in. But she's like, no, just date who you want to date and have fun. Like, that's what life is supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember, like, for so long, at least in my young, well, not young, but my entire life, up until, I guess, more recently, a lot of my focus has been that same thing of, like, oh, they have to be a Christian, they have to fit all these things, they have to fit these boxes so that I can marry them.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, as I've gone on, like, as I've been dating recently, it's like, okay, I could date this person long term. How long term? I don't fucking know. Or, no, this ain't gonna work out. But this, hey, this is a fun date, we'll see. And I give people two dates, and after that, like, if we want to go on a third, then maybe there's something more here. But if not, then, okay, peace. Like, this ain't gonna work out, you know? Yeah. And but it's, like, fun to be able to experience casual dating. Like, you get to learn more about yourself, what you like, but also, like, you gotta just meet other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is it just me, or was there also, like, when you do, especially in the church, when it is always brought up, you know, that you are either, like, dating someone, or anytime relationships are brought up in your general direction, kids are always mentioned too. It's like, are you having kids? Or it's all like, how many kids do you want to have? Kids. It's like, my mom has never asked me, when are you going to give me grandkids? Because, I mean, one, she already knows that I want to have a kid, just the one, no more. I just want one kid.
Hey, mom, guess what? You have a lot of kids now.
You keep adopting.
You the ones who are in this podcast, you are our children, so you're our parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my grandmother has already asked me for great-grandchildren, and she doesn't even like her grandchildren, so I don't understand why.
Yes. Yeah, I've had that from, like, my grandma is wanting great-grandkids, and I'm like, Grandma, don't look at me. Look at my other cousins who are actually, like, either married or engaged.
Yeah.
They can bring you kids all they want, but they don't want kids right now. So, nah, ain't happening.
Also, at the same time, it's like, I'm not even sure if I want to have a biological kid to either. It's because...
Foster.
Yeah, because I want to either, like, you know how, like, messed up and cruel the world can be, and so why would I want to... It's kind of like a moral quandary of... And I'm not knocking anyone else who wants to have a biological kid, but it's like,
bitch,
why would you want to bring why would you want to bring a new being into this world if this being is our... Like, if this world is already, like, torturous and, like, super fucked up and everything like that, why not go find someone who is already struggling and facilitate them and help them with whatever they need?
I mean, I wouldn't put the emphasis on someone else who's already struggling, because that's a colonial mindset, but yes.
Yeah, fair enough. But, you know, someone else who's already here.
Someone who's already here who does not actually have a family of origin that is safe enough for them to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's so many foster kids. There's so many kids in the system, at least in America alone. And there's this statistic that went around a long time ago that said if every church in America, or every Christian in America, adopted a kid, there would no longer be a foster care system. And yet, none of them actually want to do it. But also, most of them are also incredibly unhealthy families as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's an issue with our system now. And if anyone wants to fight me on this, suck my fucking ass. I literally worked with former foster youth for 4 fucking years and heard the story of how our system fucking fails people. Don't give me any shit about, oh, my system's good. No, our system fucking sucks ass. And I have told the county that to their fucking face. Like, it sucks. The foster care system sucks ass. The adoption system sucks ass. I have many friends who've tried to adopt people, who try to adopt kids after they fostered them, and the system fucks them in the ass. Time and time again. And these kids get thrown back into the system, or get thrown back into, like, abusive households. And granted, I'm not the person to judge, I guess, their family of origin, because my sisters were those kids who were technically in the system but were taken in by my grandparents. But, like, the system is horrible and often re-traumatizes, and if not further traumatizes the kids who are in the system. And so it's not that we need more parents, it's we need more parents who are trauma-informed and actually good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but, like, I remember back when, you know, we started legalizing, like, same-sex marriages, that was a huge, like, especially in the church, that was, fucking, the worst possible thing. It's like, oh, wait, are we going to let them adopt children and corrupt them? It's like, yeah. And guess what? Guess what? Here's the most fucked up thing, is that these are the kind of people that then would do literally nothing else. They just would fuck over the gay community and then, like, wouldn't do anything to help foster kids, wouldn't donate a single goddamn dime to their cause. They would just, like, say, oh, I just don't want the gays to have children. Well, fuck you! Like, literally, like, what are you doing to fix the foster care system?
It's they're not doing shit to fix the world at all.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesus had two dads, and look how he turned out.
But the funny thing is, like, statistically, I don't even think the statistics match it to where if your parents are gay, then you are too. Like, I don't think the statistics match that at all.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that argument, because their thing is that if you see the behavior model, then, like, you'll inherit that. But I saw almost entirely heterosexual couples growing up, and I still turned out queer as fuck.
Same.
Mm-hmm. So that argument is invalid.
Yeah. Correlation does not equal causation.
But it's not even correlation. It's like you if you grow up in a same-sex relationship, the odds of you growing up more open-minded is probably much higher than not, right? And I can get behind that statistic. Like, oh, you might be more open-minded, might be open to exploring your sexuality, but also inherent in that conversation or is that they believe that being gay, queer, whatever is a choice. And it's like, no, it's not a choice. I can't control that there are some attractions that I have to some men.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control that I have attraction to women. That's not something I can control. It just fucking happens. I woke up one day, I saw a girl, like, oh, she has boobs. I like those.
Yeah.
I saw a guy, like, hey, you're kind of cute, too. I like that. Like, I didn't fucking choose that.
Yeah. It's something that's like, I wish I could control this, but I can't, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. This is kind of stepping on the toes of purity culture, but it's like, you know, like, as a male...
I mean, don't, wait, first off, don't, isn't all that we do step on the toes of purity culture?
No, we don't step on their toes, we stomp into the ground on top of their feet of purity culture.
We fuck purity culture in the ass, but we buy it dinner first and it's with consent.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Even though it will never admit that it gave consent to other people, but it gave consent to us, we got a consent waiver filled out.
Purity, yeah, exactly. We have all the forms.
Yes, we have all
the forms. We have the receipt.
But anyway, speaking of purity culture, I saw a post on Instagram about how purity culture also hurts men. And it kind of put in, and it, I felt like it really put into words how I thought, how I, as a male, have experienced purity culture as a man. For me, it's really affected with how I, you know, about my, how I feel about my sexual attraction and whatnot, because, like, as men, we're taught that we need to, like, any sexual desire we have is lust, and we need to do our best to control it or suppress it as much as we can.
Yeah, but likewise, I mean, the same talk is told to women, and often...
Yeah.
I don't like the narrative being, because quite frankly, as men, we get it off a lot easier. We get off with purity culture a lot easier than women do.
Mm-hmm.
Because for women, purity is seen as such like this.
Yeah. But then it's like, the narrative also says, like, once they're married, then all of that sexual desire will be, in effect, cured.
Yeah.
And then they will have somebody who will want to have sex with them whenever they want. Which... is, you know, it's, like, I'm not even married, but I know that's total bullshit.
Well, and on the flip side, for women, you're taught you're not supposed to be at all a sexual being. You're supposed to be. But then you're married, like, and you're not even supposed to date. in some cases, you're not supposed to, like, kiss even.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But then you're married, and that night, you're just thrown into expecting to fulfill someone else's sexual desires. You're still not even supposed to be really sexual yourself, but you're supposed to meet that need for someone else.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
While having no prior experience or knowledge. Or,
yeah. Well, that's why I'm like, purity culture affects women a lot more than men, and that's why I don't like the narrative at all being addressed to men. I think there is a level that it is that, like, men have been harmed.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't think...
But it's like, the thing is, though, with women, it's you are expected to not be a sexual being, but yet you're also responsible if a man stumbles because he thinks you're hot.
Yeah.
And men, so you have to cover everything up. You have to do everything you can, and none of the blame is put on a man.
I don't think men are as open about their struggles with purity culture because they really don't see it as a problem. So
I don't know about that, man. I mean, think about all the masturbation shit that happens at churches. Like, if you masturbate, you bring it up with your men's group. If you watch porn, you bring it up with your men's group, and they set you up with an accountability partner.
Yeah.
Like, that's a toxic thing. Instead of like, oh, great, cool. And being like, normalizing it a little bit, which, granted, yes, there are statistics out there about, like, the harmful effects of, like, significant pornography usage. And also, like, there's a human trafficking aspect. There's a lot of, unethical porn is horrible.
Yeah.
But ethical porn, on the other hand, like, what's bad with that? You're exploring your sexuality, and you are allowing yourself to feel what you need, what you want to feel. And there's a level of self-love that can come from that. That's not toxic. But the over-toxification and saying, like, oh, this is bad. And the conversation is always your body is bad.
It's like all sexual desire is bad.
Well, not that. Sexual desire is bad because the skin is bad. Flesh is bad. You are bad. Men, if you find sexual attraction to a woman, well, just don't look twice. Because the second look is sin. But woman, you can't even look at a man. You can't even, like, if you're at a summer camp, you can't. And Bonnie, actually, I would like to hear your thoughts more because we've talked enough. But, like, at Hume Lake, being like, men can go around shirtless with their swimsuits on, but women can't wear a bikini.
Avert your eyes and cover yourselves up.
Yeah.
That's basically what purity
is. Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of experience. Summer camps were traumatic for me. I was told to bring a one piece to a summer camp once, which I did, and it was totally modest. I was, like, 14 at the time. It even had, like, a little skirt over the bottom. So you have an idea of how modest it was. It had a little skirt, and it was a halter top, so, like, it covered everything.
Oh, it's adorable.
It was pretty cute. But they told me that it was immodest, and they made me put on a t-shirt in front of everyone else who was there. Wow. Yeah. And I was just too shocked to even, like, understand why. Yeah. And now I understand it's because I developed earlier than everyone else.
So your body is bad, Bonnie, because your body decided that it wanted to develop before everyone else did. And so you're showing too much cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Which is such a fucking weird that adults say that to teenage girls.
It's like,
why are you looking?
I know. In retrospect, I'm like, they were looking at me and, like, deciding that something about my body was sexual and needed to be covered. When I was 14,
And you're
14,
never,
too.
Yeah.
But they never have that conversation with the men.
Yeah.
Never.
Like, teach the boys not to be creeps. Yes. Teach them to take no for an answer, you know? Like, no means no, you know?
Yeah. I was literally telling Bonnie today, like, if she had gone, because we saw a couple people from our young adults group today, and I was telling her, like, oh, I'm Bonnie, like, if you ever went to our church, I guarantee you within the first 5 minutes, guys would be swarming. And it's just because that's how fucking horny they are all the time.
It's
nothing to do with Bonnie, just that she's a new girl.
It's almost like a running joke in our friend group. It's like every time a new girl comes to the young adult group, the guys all swarm around her like zombies to living flesh.
I remember we literally used to be like, all right, oh, that guy's there. Oh, he's coming. Oh, I see that he has his eye on her. Like, it was literally, we knew exactly which guys were going to go every time. But also, we played a part in that, too.
Yeah. We made fun of those guys.
We joined in with it, too.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
We had to take responsibility. It was us, too.
We made fun of those guys, you know, and we...
Well, we joined in. We joined in with the creeping a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Some of the guys were, admittedly, a lot creepier than most other guys.
I'll admit that I have been... I mean, growing up kind of not really having many friends and not really understanding social boundaries or social skills or anything like that, I was pretty awkward, and for some people, I came off as a little creepy. I also didn't really understand boundaries that well, so sometimes...
And
I'll admit, when I saw a girl who I really liked, I'd kind of follow her around just sort of nonchalantly, like, not... I mean... I mean, I still felt uncomfortable doing it, but, you know, thinking, well...
She could be your wife, Kate.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I want to get to know this girl. Like, I just want to be friends. But you know, eventually I realized what I did was, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little creepy. Like, following somebody around, that kind of is pretty stalkerish, you know. Yeah. But again, it's like, I was, you know, I chased somebody because I wanted that validation because I felt like...
That's it right there.
Yeah, it's validation because I was craving, like, approval and, you know, acceptance from somebody.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if I found a girlfriend, then that would prove that I am, you know, worthy of love and, you know, that I am lovable. Yeah. And, you know, and I've never had a serious relationship, you know, and that has led to me feeling unwanted and unlovable, which I know is not true. I know I'm I know I'm capable of being loved. But just because I know that doesn't mean I always believe. Like, it's very easy for my mind to deceive me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still, and even to this day, I still struggle with feeling, like, rejected, you know, every time I see a girl in a relationship with another guy. Because it's like, oh, she chose someone else over me, you know.
But, I mean, that's, like, part of the toxicity of, like, Christian culture is this whole idea that, like, you're not complete until you have met that other person. Until your Adam has met his Eve. Who was literally made from his ribs or whatever, and like that's literally, and then the holiday season doesn't help with that because every holiday movie is about someone finding their significant other, the one, right? Well, not every holiday movie, but most of them are, you know.
Hallmark.
Hallmark. Elf is about that, like Elf. I mean, it's not the whole thing is about Elf trying to find his dad, same Elf, but like it's also like he falls in love with Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a slow burn.
I mean, Zoe Deschanel is cute in that movie.
Zoe Deschanel is hot, man. Like,
Zoe Deschanel is cute in everything.
What's not to love about Zoe Deschanel?
She's my type, bro. Like, honestly, Zoe Deschanel is a type.
Is Zoe Deschanel my type is, types?
Huh?
Manic Pixie Dream Girl?
Yes. It's like somewhere between Manic Pixie Dream Girl and like Raven from Teen Titans. If I could find a girl who's like in between that, I'm like, yep, that's that. Yep. Okay,
I kind of feel like my dream girl is, like, I think it's Victoria Pedretti from, like, the Haunting series.
She's beautiful. Love in You, if you watch
Love or Love in You. I haven't seen You.
Oh, You is so good.
Ugh.
And so was You, Gabe.
Oh.
Yeah. But, anyways.
Go ahead, sorry.
My point with all that is, like, it's so difficult, I think, to do that, but I think you hit on the nail, like, the thing that I like about, like, the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple and, like, the values that the Satanic Temple has is they flip from where Christianity has historically said you are bad and you have no worth without Jesus or without that and or that special person that can complete you, as they say in, what, is that The Notebook or whatever? I don't know.
I think it's The Dark Knight. You complete me.
That makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
As they say in The Dark Knight.
You.
Oh my god.
Until
you can find your Joker.
Will you be the Batman to my Joker?
That makes sense.
Gabe is the Joker, but yeah.
I'm basically the Joker.
It makes sense because the church is just filled with clowns.
And they're all batshit insane.
Yeah.
It continues to work. Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, the Satanic Temple, the thing that I like about Satanism, modern Satanism, that is, like, they value the love of yourself and, like, knowing that you are inherently worth value and that you make your own self-worth, you make your own, you complete yourself. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone else outside of yourself to complete you. You can complete yourself. And that message is beautiful. And in, I guess, more of the progressive Christian realm, similar to that, it's like, you know, Kevin Garcia a lot says, like, you are wonderfully made, like, and then a lot of people say, like, you are literally made in the image of divine. We've talked about this many times, like, you hold inherent worth because you are human.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need someone to complete you. That is like it's like DLC almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, you when you find that special someone, if you find that special someone, it's like an extra added bonus.
Mm.
It's like extra happiness. You're like, wow, I couldn't have lived I couldn't have understood life without this person, you know?
Right. I've heard it described as, like, two holes that complement each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, two puzzle pieces that fit together, like, you're two things, two people who are completely whole on your own, but you complement each other.
Yeah.
That's a little too much pressure to put on somebody.
Yeah.
I feel like what the church, like, really, like, pushes down on is the romantic aspect of that, like, of kind of, like, the soulmate aspect, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you'll find your other half, and it's like, where it's like, you will find someone to be strong when you are weak, or, like, you, and then you'll be strong when they are weak. And, but in actuality, I don't think, like, there are aspects to almost every relationship where that is the case. It's like, if you develop even a friendship with someone, you can have a friend who is way better at this one thing than you are. Like, for me, I suck at art, but I have a lot of creative ideas in my head. And so I have some friends who are artists, and then they will help me, like, put whatever is going on in my head onto paper. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I like. And then it's something that's really cool in that dynamic. And, but it's like, that can exist. Again, I'm not dating any of these people. It doesn't have to be that. And so you can have soul mates, essentially, outside of a romantic relationship. You can have a platonic relationship and still consider yourself a soulmate of someone.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
my soulmate are my homies.
Yeah. You know,
the homies.
You know, I had prayed, like, many, many times for a girlfriend, and when I came, one of the reasons I started coming to the church that I met you guys at was because I was hoping to find my flame. And instead, I found you guys.
And the flame, and the anger that is your flame.
And the anger that is my flame. Ugh.
Yes, we found you, Gabe.
Yes.
And we love you.
I found you. So, in a sense, I found, you know, I didn't find what I was hoping for, but I found, like my circle of friends, the circle of people who I now call friends, you know.
Well, Gabe, I love the shit out of you. You don't need no woman to complete you, or man, if that's what you end up. I don't know.
I mean, as far as I know, I'm attracted to women.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never encountered a man.
Imagine being straight.
Must be nice.
I mean, I'm
just kidding. I thought I was straight for the longest time until, like, 2 months ago, so, you know.
I'm pretty sure I am straight. I mean, I don't care about it that much, but, like, I've never met a man who I've been attracted to. Yeah,
you don't have to be gay, Gabe. You don't have to be queer at all. It's okay.
We're not forcing you.
It's fine. We're just being idiots.
No, it's the gay agenda. We're gonna convert you.
It's
a choice.
It's the Gabe agenda.
Oh. Yeah,
the Gabe agenda.
Can we just get our podcast title? The Gabe agenda.
I love that, actually.
The holiday Gabe agenda.
The holiday Gabe agenda. Declare war on Christmas propaganda.
That's gonna be the description. I'm not gonna put anything else. Just say we declare war on Christmas. You hear that, Christmas? We're declaring war.
We're coming for you, Christmas.
We're only gonna say happy holidays.
Oh shoot!
But we do have a Christmas special. Is it gonna be the angsty holiday special?
I mean, we could call it the angsty holiday special. We could call it the angsty Christian special, or we could call it the angsty angstmas special.
The Angstmas special. That's good. Woo. That's good. Oh man, honestly, guys, you aren't even ready for an Angstmas special.
Oh yeah, we're already planning shit. It's so good.
Yeah, we're not even ready, but it's gonna be
epic.
It's gonna be fucking stupid.
That's more accurate. Yeah.
Bring on the stupid. Yes.
Bring on the stupid.
All right. Well, shall we go to our next segment?
Yay! Yes. Next segment. Let's go. I'm going to keep talking into the outro.
Fucking news. Yeah, that's right. It's the fucking news, because we already did our Canada part.
Yeah.
You're welcome. This week on the fucking news, I got canceled on Twitter.
Yup.
Yup. Gabe, can you? And I'll explain why. I left a comment on Jamie Lee Finch's tweets of Chris Pratt's recent Instagram post, at least recent as of now, about his wife, and she said this is unhinged. And so I didn't get canceled by the people that I care about. I got canceled by the conservatives.
Of course you did.
Yes. So Gabe, can you please read the post for us?
I'm gonna read it in like my best church youth kid impression that I can.
And Chris Pratt did post this on November 4th.
Exactly.
AKA the day that Holiday Drinks released this year.
Actually, before we get into like the caption underneath the image, let's describe the image real quick. So we have Chris Pratt sitting on his couch, doing like the white dad smile. You know what I mean? Where it's like the if you look at Middle Class Fancy, their Instagram page, literally his smile matches theirs exactly. It is unparalleled. It is actually amazing. And his wife, what's her name again?
Catherine Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Catherine Schwarzenegger, daughter of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Barely know her.
I think it's Catherine Schwarzenegger, so correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's right.
Oh, yeah, it is right. Okay.
Yeah, so basically, she is looking up at her glowing husband, I guess. With a smile that actually looks more like a grimace instead of a smile.
No, she looks happy. She looks happy.
Like, zoom in. Yeah, zoom in a little bit.
She looks happy, but she looks like white girl happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the very long neck and the really big mouth, but the really small face.
Okay, yeah, okay, so it is white girl happy, but like fall photo shoot happy.
But like the most basic white girl, not every white girl.
Yeah.
Okay, like... But, like, there's a specific breed. You know the ones with the small face and the long necks. Mm-hmm. The ones who look like the ones who create the clones in Star Wars? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't want to roast the way that they look too much.
Yeah.
More.
They can't control that.
Yeah, they can't control that.
What he can control, though, is the shirt he's wearing and the way he's parting his hair. It's very conservative youth pastor vibes.
Oh, he does look like a total youth pastor. He looks like he goes to AA meetings.
He also didn't shave, so he has like a little, like he didn't shave and clean up his beard at the bottom.
Oh,
it's like going over
the
neck a little bit. Mm.
Okay. Mm. All right, let's continue on with the post down below before we get too into TMZ territory.
Okay. Summoning church Kenneth. Youth kid. Kenneth. Summoning Kenneth voice.
Summoning the spirit of Kenneth. Oh,
hey, guy.
Okay, it's having an exorcist moment right now. The spirit of Kenneth is entering Gabe's ass. As Kenneth gives him a blumpkin.
No!
Okay, Gabe.
Guys. He's just like, guys! What are you, the fuck are you cracking up about?
It's the way he said God. Alright, Gabe, go. Please.
Guys, for real, look how she's looking at me. I mean, find you somebody that looks at you like that. You know, we met in church. She's given me an amazing life. Gorgeous, healthy daughter. She chews so loudly that sometimes I put my earbuds to drown it out. But that's love. She helps me with everything. In return, periodically, I open a jar of pickles. That's the trade. Her heart is pure, and it belongs to me.
Oh, God.
My greatest treasure, right next to my Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card.
The fuck is that? Not a sports person.
Which, if you know is saying a lot. It's her birthday in about 6 weeks. So if I don't get her anything, I'll tell her to look back on this post. Love you, honey.
Alright, before I go into why I got canceled.
I didn't read the whole post before. That was so cringy.
It was so...
This might be just as bad as the Blumpkin definition that I had to read.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm reading over this and, like, hearing it in Chris Pratt's voice is, like, it's almost like nails on chalkboard. But if you read it back and read it in Ryan Reynolds' voice, suddenly this sounds like comedy gold.
Guys, suddenly for this... real. Look how she's looking at me.
Yeah.
Like dead, like total Deadpool.
Like, or, yeah, total Deadpool.
Or I could have done Christopher Walken voice like, guys, for real, look how she's looking at me.
Or like, or maybe John Mulaney. Like, literally, if it was a comedic sounding voice, then maybe it would sound like, you know, obviously a joke. But the thing is that...
Which it was a joke, he says.
It was a joke, obviously.
Well,
but
parts of it.
They always say it's just a joke as a get out of jail free card.
Well, exactly. But the way it's presented, it's like really like, haha, the joke is that I'm an asshole, and I'm like, great, that's not a good joke.
Yeah.
Unless you really have the charisma to like play into it. And Chris Pratt, I'm sorry, you don't have that charisma.
At least not anymore.
Not anymore.
I mean, I feel like he used to be a lot more down to earth, but I think like stardom has like gotten to his head. I think
it's maybe if you removed the one line we met at church,
yeah,
and then like because that was like all of a sudden it's like, oh, back into reality, and then back into this weird fucking joke.
Beware of couples who meet at church.
Well, okay, so there's more to it that I think isn't a joke though. Yeah. Like the part about chewing. I could see being a joke, and the part about the pickle jar,
that's a half joke.
Yeah, the parts that are definitely and the greatest treasure part also kind of a joke. The
is two it though?
Weirdest parts, arguably.
She's his treasure.
Mm-hmm. Treasure.
The part about giving him a gorgeous, healthy daughter when he has other children with his ex-wife who have had health complications.
Yeah.
Which is clearly a dig.
Mm, yeah.
And then the other part that I don't think is a joke and is really fucking creepy is her heart is pure and it belongs to me.
Yeah.
That's
like typical, like we talked about this episode, a lot of purity culture.
Right, his purity doesn't matter.
Possessiveness. Yeah.
Which brings me, I'll read
what I have to guard your heart.
Yes. So Jimmy Lee Finch, if you don't know who she is, Jimmy Lee Finch used to say that she was a sex witch, but no longer uses the term witch. But Jimmy Lee Finch just came out with a new class. She's like a whole body coach kind of thing, like learning to listen to your body, recognizing your body as a person. Really, like, I've listened to a few podcasts with her on it, and also follow her. She posts up Grace Up. But she posted, because this started going, like, this started blowing up in, like, the people who are in the quote-unquote deconstruction progressive realm, whatever the fuck that means. Like, those people started, like, tweeting it. So I see her, and she quotes, "This is unhinged." So I comment, someone, I guess, said, so she posted, "A lot of incels in my mentions seem specifically obsessed with comparing Chris Pratt to Ryan Reynolds, and I'm gonna need y'all to think about that truly bizarre impulse for longer than 8 seconds. Gracious, y'all are sensitive, huh?" So I commented, AKA, like this quote, AKA, "I own this woman and give her nothing in return. She loves me and is definitely not brainwashed by a system that celebrates misogyny and white supremacy." And a lot of people really liked that. I mean, Jimmy Lee Finch liked it herself, which I was like, okay, cool. But I had to mute it because I have 57 comments and 10 quote tweets, all of which were conservative. And I shit you not, you can go on, look at Help Us Dear Lord, and you can find my tweet of this. Every single man, at least that has a picture of himself, is a white dude. It's a white dude. No woman say anything to what I said. No one who is BIPOC commented any hatred. One person's profile picture is literally Pepe as Donald Trump.
Oh.
Ew.
And a lot, yeah, and, oh, someone called me a faggot. That's nice.
What?
Yeah, I just saw that one. But someone, like, people were, like, personally attacking me. Someone called me fat. I'm like, bro, I'm literally at the gym right now lifting weights as you're tweeting me, calling me fat, probably sitting on your toilet. And then someone else also decided to use the R word in reference to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you guys worship this man so much? But, like, it showed, like, all it proved to me, and I did mute it because I was like, this is just, I don't need to focus on this. And I reported and blocked people who were actually saying hateful comments, which, because I don't really give a shit. But it's like, the white nationalism, the blind eye to the actual misogyny and the supremacy of male culture, mm-hmm. or of males in the Christian culture.
Toxic masculinity.
Well, it's not even toxic masculinity.
It plays into it.
In some ways, because when I think toxic masculinity, at least for myself, I think of like the harmful effects to men of like, you know, feeling like you can't cry and all that stuff, you have to be a man. But it is toxic masculinity, or toxic misogyny, I think is even the better, mm-hmm. a better term, because it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, all misogyny is toxic.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yes. So it's misogyny. Where it's like, you know, it's saying like the man owns the wife kind of thing. Because that's kind of what's inherent in this. Although he may not be saying that, he's saying that her value comes from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if
he's... ability to bear him healthy children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, even the picture, like Jake was describing, it's her literally looking up to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to do that. Him looking directly at the camera. If there was equal, they would both be looking at each other lovingly. But it's him looking at the camera with her looking at him. And maybe it's because he's famous or whatever. But even then, like, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, like, their relationship seems a lot healthier than that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, goals.
Yeah, oh, yeah, honestly. With how much they shit-talk each other on social media, it's hilarious.
It's endearing, yeah. Honestly.
But they also, like, love each other. Like, every picture that I see with them, not one of them is looking at the camera. They're looking at each other. And they're, like, they look like they're genuinely enjoying each other's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that often. And so, I like that.
Especially in celebrity couples.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I got canceled. That was fun.
I mean, you should wear that as a badge of honor.
I do.
Yeah.
No, it was funny. It's the sad thing is and I guess I kind of feel bad about that. I mean, I do, because Chris Pratt, although there are some questionable things, like he defended so a lot of controversy, and I know because I just looked it up. A lot of controversy surrounding him. I think Bonnie, you mentioned it before about like his stance on LGBTQ.
Yeah.
I did see it where Ellen Page called him out because of his ties to Hillsong Church, which is...
Elliot Page.
Elliot Page, yes. Thank you for correcting me. Elliot Page mentioned that Chris Pratt continues to go to Hillsong Church, which so does Justin Bieber. But
not a lot of people like him anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. But like a lot of celebrities go to Hillsong, and... They have historically been LGBTQ, not affirming, but Chris Pratt was defending them in different interviews, which I don't know. I don't go to Hillsong, never want to go to Hillsong. I've heard enough toxic shit about Hillsong, and I also don't like the senior pastor, or the fuck his name is. I don't give a shit, but
yeah.
Their music is can be good if I want to listen to that kind of music, I guess. But anyways, Yahoo Entertainment, this one started going around as well the day after. Chris Pratt went to bed upset and depressed following social media backlash. And someone commented, yeah, I do that every night, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated. Because does he deserve to get canceled or anything? Obviously not.
I feel like cancel culture in general has, like, gotten out of hand.
Right. I mean, I do feel like accountability is important. And I feel like people tend to take either a very radical stance either way. Like,
yeah, but... I just looked at the Yahoo article, and just a couple quotes from him. This part I feel bad about. Like, I went to bed last night really kind of upset and depressed, and I woke up feeling crappy, and I didn't want to work out. But then it goes into, I knew that if I put on my Christian music playlist and I got out of the woods and ran, that I'd feel better, but I just didn't want to. And I did it anyways, and gosh, was I right. It felt amazing. I got out of the woods, got my blood pumping. That moment, it really captured me, and so I just want to say all glory to God. And so, like, with that...
Bonnie has disappeared under the blanket.
Yeah, Bonnie disappeared.
Bonnie is disassociating hard right now.
Now, here's the thing about that. I get it. I used to do the same thing when I was an evangelical, right? Maybe not the exercise part, but like putting on your Christian playlist, praying, reaching out to some friends, like that can bring a person some joy or some comfort.
And I think that is good.
Yeah. That's good. But like he as an individual is free to do that. Although I'm just like, bruh, whatever. But it's his experience. Now the exercise portion is great. That's actually very... Like, that's more therapeutic than therapy can often be. Like, if you are depressed and you don't want to, like, yeah, feel your feels. But also, get up, go outside, get your, not serotonin, whatever the fuck going. Go outside, experience the sun, go for a run, work, lift some weights, like, do what you gotta do, because that does actually help. EMDR therapy was built and influenced because of someone going on a walk and realizing the way that it's affecting their mood. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's some good in that, and I feel kind of bad for him, because he is still an individual, right?
Yeah.
We have to, that's why I feel like cancel culture has gotten out of hand, because it's like, we should hold people accountable, but I think we over-demonize people who been found out they've done some bad things in the past or have said.
Which he did say that if he was a cop, he'd be a corrupt cop.
I don't think he was canceled in this situation, though. I think people read what he said and were just critiquing the culture that he is participating in. I don't think that's canceling him. I think that's like a totally fine thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is literally what every post that I saw was about. Even myself, I was like, no, this is what he's saying inherently. I'm not saying that this is him and what he necessarily believes, but like, this is what the culture says, right? The culture is saying that women have no value unless they're tied to a man, and a man has no use for a woman except for opening a jar of pickles. And that is ridiculous. It's like, no, you both have inherent worth as human beings, and you both can have a loving relationship. No one is above anyone. Like, there's an equal, like, you're both beautiful people, you know? Yeah. Like, treat each other like that.
Yeah. I guess I'm probably giving him a huge benefit of the doubt, but I don't think he really had the self-awareness to realize that that's what he was saying.
Well, that's the thing. It's we often blame the abused. And whether or not he realizes he's abused, and whether or anyone else realizes that they're abused, we can't, at the end of the day, blame them. We can blame the abuser or blame the system.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and that's the hard part, right? Because it's like, even then, like, when we critique a lot of people, we're literally the Angsty Christian fucking podcast, right?
Yeah.
And we often critique people, and I think there's importance to that, to critique the actions and stuff, but ultimately, like, it's, we should be blaming the system, we should be critiquing the system and critique people to do better, but we can't cancel people.
Well, and I think it's also, when we critique people, it's always that action was not okay. It's never you are a bad person. Like, it's never inherently about them.
It's action based,
as a human being, it's always it's always action based.
Yeah.
Something they can control.
Yeah, in TBRI, or Trust Based Relational Intervention, it is a training that I have gone through the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development. They say we level at the behavior, not the child. Mm-hmm. Whenever we are doing an intervention or any type of correcting, we always do it at the behavior, not the child, because a child is loved and is beloved and is beautiful. I do want to quickly point out a really funny post. Shout out to Adrian Gibbs. He tweeted this afterwards. It's a picture of him and Josh sitting in a kitchen, with him looking at Josh with absolute joy on his face, and Josh has like a really funny face as he's like mid sentence, and Adrian goes, "Guys, for real, look at how I'm looking at Josh Link in his kitchen. Find you somebody that looks like that. You know, we met at church. I've given him an amazing meme page, a glorious, healthy podcast. And in exchange, he opens jars. My heart is pure, and it belongs to him," with a heart emoji. And that was really fucking hilarious. Someone said, "But how loud does he chew? The people need to know." Adrian goes, "I chew so loudly at breakfast. So loud, in fact, he wears headphones and ignores me all day and night because of how loudly I chew." And then someone says, "Where does he fall in the rank of treasured possessions?" Adrian said, "He's my single most prized treasured possession, and I'm just below one of his Pokemon cards as far as ranking. Not even an actual Pokemon either, an energy card." So I thought that was funny. Honestly, Dirty Rotten Church kids, you guys kill me even with all your fucking tweets. So go back and listen to that episode.
You guys take the taco.
What?
What? You want it? Okay. Guys!
You know, we're going to leave it there.
Yeah, we're going to leave it there. Yeah. All right.
Sorry about that.
Hope
I didn't offend anyone.
No, I just didn't understand what that meant. And we're not going to go into that.
That takes the taco as far as, you know.
That takes the cake.
It's like,
oh, you just said it.
I'm just trying to be inventive.
All right.
And it fell flat.
Well, speaking of you being inventive, our next section is actually our petty prayers with Gabe.
Oh, wait.
What?
The news. The fucking news.
Oh, no. Oh, we already did.
Oh, no, you had to end it.
Oh, we have to end the fucking news.
You're right.
Right.
That was the fucking news.
He did not touch lips to my mic, thankfully. All right, so next is A Petty Prayers with Gabe Gonzalez.
Ooh, yes, yes, of course. And you guys get to hear it live, because usually these are pre-recorded and sent to Daniel via text.
It's true, so it's going to be better quality. Yeah. Our first one was actually recorded.
Yeah.
It was.
But yeah, first one was recording, but you are in for a treat tonight. Because this, I'm just going to pray a prayer over Thanksgiving.
I pray that you keep your smallpox, measles, typhus, cholera, and syphilis under your blanket and shove the massive veined cornucopia of white Jesus and its many fruits up your ass. Happy fucksgiving, colonizers.
Amen. Gave men.
Oh my fuck, that one was good.
It's so much better live. It's so much better to be here live. Oh my god.
I'm so proud of that one.
I'm gonna be real, y'all. Like, we did not expect to have Gabe on this today. I just walked into my apartment and he was here and I was like, oh, this is perfect. Anyone have anything to plug?
Let's see. Oh, Team C's. That's the huge thing that's going on right now. Fucking hashtag Team C's. Go to teamc's.org. Donate to that organization, because every dollar donated removes a pound of garbage from the ocean. And part of the funds also go to fund robots that continuously clean the ocean 24/7. And it's so fucking cool.
So glorious. We get to fund Wall-E?
Yeah. Wait, Wall-E?
It's basically Wall-E in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took me a minute to process that. Yeah.
Bonnie, Gabe, anything to plug?
Well, if you want to take a look at my artwork, because yes. I'm an artist, you can check my art out on Instagram at Gabe Draws A Lot. That's all one word. Gabe Draws A Lot. And I post some of my artwork there.
Yes.
And I hope you guys like it.
Yes, Gabe did do our original artwork for the podcast. So we always, I mean, Gabe's just an all-around solid guy. So, Gabe, you're a friend of the pod and of ours, and we love the fuck out of you. And so if any of you don't love Gabe, fuck off. We don't love you anymore.
I mean...
Just kidding, we still love you.
I mean, you're free not to love me. That's your choice.
But it's the wrong choice.
It is a wrong choice.
Yeah, there's a right and a wrong choice. But it's ultimately your choice.
We are all welcome to our own opinions, but yours is wrong.
Ding dong, opinion wrong.
Yeah. Oh, and last episode, at the end, we started saying sorry for all the things that we are sorry for our mom. Bonnie
went off. I don't like this trend. I don't like this trend.
I thought it was funny.
I mean, I feel bad that Bonnie was the only one that done it, so...
I have more.
Oh, yeah. No, but she just said she was going to keep going. And I was like, okay. All right, Bonnie, you
want... I mean, first of all, I'm sorry, Mom. Yeah. I don't have a list of things right now. Maybe next week. Maybe you can remind me of things after listening to this episode.
Yeah. Let me see. What am I sorry before Mom about? It's too fresh right now. Well, no, I didn't do anything recently. It's just like my mom. Like, what am I gonna say? Oh, I'm sorry that your husband died again. Like, that's fucking sad.
No, yeah. You gotta apologize for what you did.
I'm sorry that I didn't stay longer. I guess because I was out there for two.
No, not with your
two days. No. Like at her house afterwards. I'm sorry for calling you a bitch once when I got angry, and almost kicking you because you were trying to spank me. I wasn't. High school, so fuck off. I'm sorry.
That's not a real apology.
I don't give a shit. I'm sorry for not giving a real apology. I'm sorry for being angsty all the time and being an angry child. I'm not, but I am. I'm sorry for throwing tantrums when I couldn't get a hamburger at some undisclosed restaurant that I don't remember the name of. I'm sorry for... I don't know, I guess being born because I cost a lot of money and I was a mistake. That was a pill baby, and she, so her and my dad weren't expecting it.
Oh, he said so. They said stop.
Yeah.
What else are you sorry for?
Yeah.
It's gone too far now.
You're getting into really dark places.
No, I don't know what else to say sorry at all about. So.
Well, I think I have something to say sorry for. Mom?
For you?
Yeah, for me? Yeah, what do you have to say sorry for, Gabe?
Mom, I hope you're not listening to this podcast. And if you are and you've made it this far into the episode, I'm sorry you had to listen to your son cuss so much.
Well,
I know when I was younger, you routinely shoved the Psalms 19:14 down my throat, but...
This is not a blumpkin.
Mom, I'm sorry I taught you what a blumpkin was.
I'm sorry you found out what a blumpkin was.
That's a good one. Yeah.
But I am not sorry for all the swear words, because honestly, having to recite Psalm 19:14 so much had the reverse effect on me. So... May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be offensive in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen,
Gabe. Amen, Gabe.
We got two for one, baby.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Angsty Christian Podcast. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Angsty Christian Pod.
And if you really, really like our show and you want to support us, make sure to go over to our Patreon. Thank you, Mom. And become one of our backers.
And if you would like to email us about literally anything, you hate us, you like us, you want to be with us, whatever, I don't care, email us at angstychristianpodcast@gmail.com. Also realize when I said that, it sounds like you want to be in a relationship with us. Well, two of us are single, but please don't. That's weird.
I'll hold your hand.
Anyways, all music is done by Brad Tsushima. He is a homie. Thank you so much, Brad. We love you. Gravity Falls, but I could talk like this on podcast. Hey, baby.
You want to talk like that the entire podcast?
I can.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm way too fast.
How to tell the difference between two masculine voices. Number one, I'm the dumbass. Let me be the dumbass.
Number two, I'm the smarter dumbass. But still a dumbass.
I'm just the dumberer dumbass.
I'm the dumb dumbass.
Dum da dum dum.
So we got dumb and dumber.
Yes, and dumbest.
Dumbass.
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 Okay. And well, dumb. I'm more of the
dumbass. or dumb. Dumé.
Dumé. Dumas. Or
gender inclusive.
Or how about
dumé dumé?
Or how about
dummy dummy? Dummy mommy.
Or how about Dumas, as in Alexandre Dumas.
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 Dumas. Dumas.
Because that's how it's spelled, Dumas. Yes, I'm Dumas. I am Dumas. I feel like I'm the
dark... You're Duwen?
Oh! I'm Du.
I was going to say I'm Tamar.
Duin.
I'm Puma.
I'm Duin. I'm Duin.
Simba, remember who you are. That is written by the games!
You are written by the gays, Simba.
And specifically by Elton John, a known gay!
Jeez, what that... That person really had a thing... Must have really had a thing for Elton John.
Mr. Palmer is probably actually gay. Although probably he's married or bisexual. Hence the extreme homophobia.
I mean, you, as the saying goes, you obsess over what you repress. So.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I can't wait for our listeners to realize that there's 5 extra minutes at the end of the podcast.
And I really hope they do. What is up? If you've listened this far, you are my favorite child.
Love you. Let me give you a kiss.
Don't kiss my mic.
Are you gonna give
Thank
us
you. Thank you for not gonna... kissing my mic. You almost did it.
Are you gonna give us a little ASMR?
I was. Wait,
should we?
Except someone's a party pooper around here.
Should we give whoever's listened this far a little taste of what's coming for Christmas?
Yeah, but only the first word.
What's coming for Christmas?
Chwas.
Twas.
Twas.
I read it to Gabe, and Gabe really jumped for joy.
I
Brandon also gave us a good ending for it, which is really good. Like whenever we end it, you know, right there, the last line.
Oh, okay.
It was beautiful.
Thought that'd be pretty good.
I don't know why, but when you said twas, all I thought was
twassel. That's gonna be the name of the episode for Christmas.
Twassel. Twas all the night before Christmas.
Twas the night.
All through the house. Not that the creature was stirring. Not even Jimmy's mom. The croissants were hung off her boobs with care. In hopes that Jimmy would not be there.
I was hoping for the croissants were hung, and so was I.
that's a good one. That's a better one.
But the crosses were hung from her boobs.
Well, the crosses were hung in the closet were there.
Oh.
Because you're still in the closet. Come on, get the fuck out.
Can we start the damn episode?
Yeah, we can. I was gonna... Yeah, okay.